www.thebrooklyncommunity.com.
Hey, something's going on later on today. A nap? Wrong answer. Maybe true, but it's a wrong answer for what I'm looking for. Yeah, Packer, but it's not just Packer game, it's all kinds of football, because today is game day, right? Today is game day. Now, I've seen this with my kids recently, because they're in swimming and soccer and different sports, and so I've seen this in them, which is kind of cool and a little bit of a flashback. But if I go back in a little bit of time, just a few years ago to when I was in high school, just a couple years ago. It's a joke. I'm old, all right? But if I go back a couple of years, game day, there was nothing like it, right? When it was game day, it was so cool. You, like, woke up, you were all ready. You couldn't hardly wait until it got to the game at night, so you're talking about the game in between classes. You're talking about the game at lunch. You're talking about the game in classes and getting in trouble for it. You know, all that sort of thing was going on because you're so excited that it was game day. And there was something just different. You woke up on game day, and it was like, okay, I have this new energy and excitement and passion. I'm so, this is going to be an awesome day, man. It's game day. And, you know, every other day I would wake up for school, mostly, and it just wasn't quite the same because there was just nothing compared to that energy of game day. Now, I know a lot of mornings, maybe even this morning for some of you, a lot of mornings we wake up, we stumble around in the dark, hit the snooze a bunch of times, you know, and start going about our day, just rolling along like any other day. But have you ever stopped to think about the fact that when it comes to us as followers of Jesus, every day is game day. Every day is game day. Every day God wants to use you and me to be difference makers in the world. Right? He wants us to be game changers. And that's kind of what this series is about. Now, we're in week two of Game Changers series. Last week, give you the brief recap, last week we talked about how important it is to have a strong spiritual defense. Right? And when we talk about defense, at the heart of that is growing. Right? If we're growing in Christ, if we're growing in what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we won't be falling away or shrinking back. So three areas that we mentioned that are really significant in that happening. First of all, read. Read the Word of God. Right? Hide it in your heart. Be always putting God's Word in us so we know what He wants us to do, what He wants us to believe, and that sort of thing. So read God's Word. The second thing was pray. Pray. Right? And it's not just about doing our time and putting in the time of, you know, just, oh, I gotta pray today. It was about connecting with the heart of Jesus and allowing Him to speak to us and being in His presence, drawing near. So read, pray, and then connect. And connect is really about others. Obviously, we do that a bit this morning. We talked about connection group opportunities. You saw that go around today. But really, it's about doing life with other people in community with Him. So a strong spiritual defense that can help us from falling away or falling back can really be helped by read, pray, and connect. And so that was the heart of last week. All defense is about growth. But just like the game of football, our spiritual life isn't only about just holding our ground. Right? Our spiritual life isn't just about holding up and playing defense and making sure that we're still following Jesus at the end of the day. There's also an offensive part of what we're supposed to be and do as followers of Christ. Like, we've got to try and put points on the board. We've got to try and get the ball in the end zone we're trying to score. So if defense equals grow, then if you could think about offense in terms of a word that summarizes that or captures that, it's reach. Right? Offense equals reach. And specifically, it's about reaching other people with the hope of the gospel. As followers of Jesus, we are each called into the greatest initiative, so to speak, in the history of mankind. The Great Commission. And Jesus talked about this when He said to His disciples in Matthew 28, said, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." These instructions to Jesus' disciples were to go and make other disciples. Take what you have been given by me and share it with the world. Well, those instructions to his disciples are also true of us. Right? We're called to have great impact on the world around us. Now, I don't know. I had a day the other day, I was talking with my wife, Sherry, where I was kind of overwhelmed. Just seeing a lot of the very difficult things that were going on in the news. And some of them might seem like, they're a world away. Hearing about court cases and trials, and if you follow football, you saw a lot of that, and it was just like, ugh, kind of makes you just sick to your stomach. But that was only just a little portion of things that were going on. I mean, in this week, we have terrorist activity, right? We've got different potential child abuse or potential spousal abuse issues and cases that are like being covered on a second-by-second basis. We even had some tragedy kind of strike close to the heart of things at one of our middle schools. And so I'm hearing this stuff, and I'm just like, ugh. And yet at the same time, I'm thinking, you know what? If there's ever a time for us as Christians to be trying to accomplish something and reaching people with the hope of Jesus, this is a time for that, right? This is a time for that. We know and we understand that God's creation is broken and suffering and marred because of sin, right? Missing the mark of God's perfection. But God had put this plan into action, right? He would raise up a people, and through that people, he would establish them as a nation, and then through that people, he would give Jesus, the promised Savior who would give his life on the cross for our sin if we would put our faith and trust in him. Now, his own son would become the punishment that we deserved. But then, I think, here's the craziest part of the plan. God decided to use the average, everyday, ordinary person, like you and me, to take that hope of forgiveness, the good news about Jesus, to every single person in the world. We're called to take that same hope we've been given in Christ and to hold it out to the world around us. So God wants us to help others know Jesus. Now, I don't think this is a surprise for you, but I think it's an amazing thing to think that you and I, we are, and I've said this before here, you and I, we're God's plan A. And he doesn't have a plan B. Right? We're God's plan A, and there is no plan B. We're it. We are the who is supposed to take the message of Jesus to the people around us. And I think we know that. I think we all understand that. But then we always ask the question, and it's a good idea to ask the question, just how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to go about taking that gospel message and sharing it to the world? Well, here at Portico, we do a thing. It's kind of a tool that we have that we just, it's called Oikos. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Now, I hope that you don't hear this just as some promo piece for a program that we do, but I hope that you hear the heart behind it all. Because, you know what, we know we're supposed to be taking the message of Christ to people around us. That we're called to do. Jesus told us to do that in the Great Commission. This is just simply a tool to help keep us on track with that. And so I would really encourage you to participate in what we call Oikos. And I'm going to walk us through a little bit of what that's about and what that means for us this morning. Okay? So, first of all, I know that some of you have heard this a number of times before. That's okay. To be honest with you, we don't do a good enough job at keeping this on the forefront of our minds and our hearts. I shared it last week that we had, as we dove into the series, I felt like there were a lot of things that we just needed to get better at, and I think this is one of them. All right, so for those who've been around for a while in our church, that's important. For those who are new, cool. You get a first-hand chance to hear, hey, how is it that we want to go about reaching people with the message of Jesus, because that's what we're about. All right? So, oikos, first of all, it's a Greek word, and it literally means house or dwelling. But it can also refer to an extended family. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. First of all, we see it in Acts 10. Now, Peter is after Jesus has died, and he's risen again, and told him to go out with this message. Peter receives a vision from God to go to the house of a man whose name is Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile man, meaning he's not a Jewish man. And yet Acts 10:2 says that he was a devout man and that he feared God along with his household, his oikos, right? His household. And they feared God, they gave generously, and they prayed all the time. But they didn't know about Jesus. They didn't know about Jesus. So God says to Peter, and sends him a vision, and says, you need to go tell Cornelius about Jesus. So when Peter arrives, it says that many people were gathered there. Cornelius had gathered his oikos together so they could hear what Peter had to say about Jesus. All right, so that's the first example. The second example, and we'll actually read this from Acts chapter 16. And this is the story of Paul and Silas, and they are in jail at the time. Starting in verse 25, it says this, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Now, by the way, I am struck by this verse every time I read it, because I think here's Paul and Silas in the middle of the night, beaten, bruised, shackled in the inner dungeons of a jail. I mean, that's the reality of where they are, kind of lost and forgotten about in the pit of pits. And it's midnight, it's at night, and they're praying and they're singing. And in that moment, people around them notice. People around them notice how they're handling this difficult situation. So I love that. So about midnight, they were singing hymns to God, and prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped, obviously for fear of having failed to do his job. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And it goes on to say that when the message was preached to them, he and his household, his oikos, were baptized, and they were saved. That's the idea of oikos. It's the people around us that we do life with. So like Cornelius and the jailer, we're called to be game changers in the lives of the people that we rub shoulders with every day. Yes, our family, but also our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, they're all the people in our relational world. They are our oikos, right? These are the people who are close to us. We're not talking about, you know, Aunt Shirley who lives in, you know, Alabama that we see once every 5 years. It's great to be praying for her and thinking of her, and we should be doing that. We're talking about changing the world by the people we're rubbing shoulders with. Okay? So here's the idea of oikos, and there's 7 things. And I know it seems like a lot, but they're pretty simple, okay? 7 kind of keys, I guess you'd say, to impacting the people in your oikos. First of all, identify your oikos. Identify your oikos. You've got to realize who they are. A lot of times we go around, we're just oblivious to who these people are that are in our life. Here's what the concept is. We believe that God has put people into your life, maybe 8, 10, 15 people. He's put people into your sphere of influence, and he's done that strategically and supernaturally. Right? A lot of them don't know Christ yet. A lot of the people around you don't know Christ yet. But God wants to reach them with the hope of Jesus, and he wants to use you to do it. So have you stopped to consider or identify, who are those people for me? Who is my oikos? You know? Now, if you have been a part of this, it's probably different. Your relationships change all the time, right? Coworkers come and go. People move. People go to different places. It changes. You know, who you were praying for and rubbing shoulders with 2 years ago, you may go, I don't even see them anymore. 2 months ago, man, things have changed. Who has God put in your life right now that you that he wants to use you for impact and influence? That's your oikos. Now, I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end of this as we reflect to think about that. All right? Maybe you can let that kind of turn in the back of your minds. Who are those people in my life that God wants to use me to impact? Okay, so the first thing is identify your oikos. The second thing is pray for them every day. Pray for them every day. Okay, now we talked about prayer being good for a strong defense. Well, it's good for a strong offense too. Right? Prayer changes things. God hears us and he answers prayer. And we realize that sometimes God's answers come very slowly. And sometimes he doesn't answer the way he wants. But sometimes he moves quickly. And sometimes it's exactly what we're praying for. We don't always understand the why, but we know that God hears us. He hears us. And we trust that he knows what's best. So pray for your oikos. Pray for them. And not just generally, pray for them by name. Pray for each person by name. Some things you can pray for. Pray that, you know, God's always working in people's lives, so pray that they would sense God's presence in their lives somehow. Pray that their heart would become open to the message of Christ. Pray that they would ultimately respond in their hearts to the truth of Jesus. But also, you can pray that God would use you somehow in the way that he sees fit to have an impact on them. Okay? So, identify who that oikos is. Pray for them every day. Right? The third thing is this. Live a life that models Jesus. Live a life that models Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he said this, a passage you're probably familiar with. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall it saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Right, so we need to not be a lamp that is hidden under a bushel. Right. We can't be salt that isn't actually salty. We're supposed to live out our lives as followers of Christ for other people to see. So if we say we love Jesus, then we do what he says is best. I would also maybe add this, don't be a hypocrite. Right? If we know what Jesus says, we need to do our best to live that out in the way that he says, because nothing destroys our credibility as a follower of Jesus than not doing what Jesus says we're supposed to do. That's why Jesus says, don't be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Okay, that's why he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I say? Right? We need to live a life that models Jesus to others in following him. The next thing is to build strong relationships. Build strong relationships. You know, the best relationships of any kind are typically the ones that we pour our hearts into. You know, listen to what Paul wrote. Paul wrote this to the church in Thessalonica. He said, "So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us." I mean, think of some of those words in there. Affectionately desirous. Man, they are affectionate towards these people. He cares about them. They desire so badly for the best for them. You know, they shared not just the gospel message. I mean, that's important. It's the ultimate thing. But they shared their very lives because these people had become dear. They were friends. They were close. Sharing the gospel is not just about blasting people with a particular message. We invest our time. We invest our energy. We invest our emotion. We make a commitment into another person. And each time we do, we earn a deeper level of trust and respect. Right? Now, don't turn people into projects. It's not what we're saying here. Make a list of the people projects on your list that you can. No. No, we're not talking about that. And you certainly don't quit on people if they're not ready to respond to Christ. It's not like, oh, well, you're not interested, then I don't be your friend anymore, I guess. I mean, it's nothing like that. But we just invest into people's lives. We care about them. Why? So that we have a platform to share with them when the right time or the right opportunity comes along. They know that we care about them. And so they may care what we have to say. How this works, things work in our life when it comes to following Jesus. Okay, so build strong relationships. All right, the next thing is seek opportunities. Seek opportunities. It's a question that I think we ought to ask ourselves constantly. When was the last time that there was somebody in your life who is not a follower of Christ that you just said, hey, want to go out for coffee? Want to hang out? When was the last time you invited them over for dinner? Went to their kid's soccer game? You know, when was the last time you invited someone to church? Whoa, invite them to church. But I did that like 3 years ago and they said no. That was a long time ago. Things change, right? Want to be inviting people, opportunities to a cookout, to a baseball game, whatever it is. When was the last time we sought an opportunity to see some spiritual development in somebody that we are caring about and praying for? Now, I'll say this, most of the time, there are opportunities, there are doors or windows that open up into people's lives. You know, we're not looking to badger someone who's never come to church like every week. Hey, you coming to church with me this week? No, okay, well, I'll ask you again next Friday, you know? I mean, we'll get sick of that really fast. We all would. We don't want church shoved down our throats. We've probably experienced that to a certain point. We need to be watching for opportunities where the window or the door is open because God has done something in their life. God is always working in people's lives, right? Maybe you approached someone a month ago and they said no, but today, something's going on in their heart and they're open. Don't just assume if they say no, the door is closed forever, okay? God is working. Ask again. Now, be sensitive to that, you know, but ask them when an opportunity arises. Maybe the next time it's going to be a yes. Now, I'll say this also, we got to make some room in our lives for these things to happen, right? Sharing Jesus' love or the hope of Jesus with people doesn't always work on a nice, neat little schedule, right? It's not like, well, okay, if I schedule a coffee thing with them for an hour from 6 to 7, that's going to be the time that they're going to come to know Jesus. That's not usually how it works. It doesn't always work neatly into our schedule. I think of some times where you know, maybe we've shared something with somebody and you know, you never know. And like a year later, they call up and they say, hey, remember when you talked to me about such and such? Whoa, yeah. Well, I've been thinking about that. Sometimes our opportunities don't come at the most opportune times. You get that phone call and they really need to talk to you right as you're heading out the door for a movie, right? You get that important phone call when that happens. Or what they need at the moment is for someone to help them with something, and it means you got to set aside your own projects that you're working on right now so you can help them. All right, we got to keep our eyes open for opportunities of impact. And the thing is, it should be on the forefront of our minds. But if we are really praying for our people every day, praying for our oikos every day, guess what? Here's a little side benefit of that. We're going to become way more sensitive to what's going on in their life. Because we're always thinking about how can I pray for them right now? What's going on in their life that I can be praying for? Okay? So, seek opportunities. Seek opportunities. The sixth thing, engage in spiritual conversations. Engage in spiritual conversations. This could be a tricky one. You know, how do you get to the point of actually having a spiritual conversation with people? You know, you just charge in without warning. Hey, how you doing? I just want to know, do you believe in Jesus? Or, you know, are you thinking about heaven and hell and your eternal destiny? Probably not a good conversation starter, right? Not the way to go. But ask questions. There are so many things going on in people's lives that God has things to say about. Sometimes we just ask questions. Hey, what are you thinking about this situation over in this terrorist thing that we're hearing about? What are you thinking here? How are you doing with that? Hey, I heard this happened in your life. Are you doing okay? You just ask questions. It can be very effective because sometimes when people share what they think, then they know you care about what they think. They're interested in what you think as well. So I think one of the best ways to get into spiritual conversations is to ask questions. All right? Now, two warnings about spiritual conversations. Be careful your spiritual conversation doesn't become an argument or a debate. Right? Like, if you're going to get onto the topic of evolution versus creation or something like that, or, you know, did the Big Bang really happen, and you're going to get into the in-depth arguments of this and that and the other thing, probably not going to be terribly fruitful. Maybe they want to talk about that, and that's fine. But remember, the point is Jesus, not the little side topic, not the little sub-point. Have a conversation, but don't turn it into an argument or debate. That's not likely to win someone over, right? The second thing is this, and I've talked with Scott quite a bit about this at times. I don't think the best tool for this is social media, all right? Getting into spiritual conversations and happening over live social media where everyone can blast in any thoughts and we're meant for like real life, face-to-face, in-person conversations. And we're talking about the people we rub shoulders with. So if you work with that person, have a conversation with them. Don't jump on their Facebook account and start asking them about what they think about Jesus, okay? Talk with them. Because I think things go interestingly in the internet world, okay? So engage in spiritual conversations. And the last thing is to share the gospel. Share the gospel. Romans 10:13 through 17 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed that what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Not everyone is going to respond to the gospel. Not everyone's going to respond to Jesus. So he says, not everyone obeys that. Not everyone's listening. But if we don't present the gospel, there's no chance for someone to come to know Jesus. Okay? In order for someone to call on Jesus, they have to hear about Jesus. We're supposed to tell them about it. So we can love people all we want, and that's important. We can demonstrate the love of Jesus. We can look for opportunities to invite them and maybe even encourage them or engage in a spiritual conversation. But ultimately, the gospel is a message that needs to be shared. We need to talk to them about it. We need to communicate the truth about Jesus so they can respond to that. It can be a simple explanation, as simple as, look, here's what I believe to be true according to the scripture is that, you know, we're all sinful. We all fail. We all fall short of God's perfect standards. But Jesus died on the cross to forgive that sin and he rose again. He's the Savior. He's the one we have to put our faith and trust in and ask forgiveness for that sin from, because he makes us right with God. And when we do that, we'll be in heaven forever with him. That's the good news of the gospel in a brief nutshell. It doesn't have to be complicated. But we need to share that with people. We need to share that with people. Now, in doing any of this, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to be reckless. So, give a little demonstration here, a little thought-provoking thing as we kind of wrap up some of the message portion here. I want you to take a look at this. Yeah. going on the offensive doesn't mean we need to be offensive, right? We're not about blasting people. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. We have the hope of Christ within us. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we just share it. We'll let God do the work of what he needs to do. We don't have to do it in an angry way. We don't have to do it in a mean way. But we need to do it. We need to share the gospel. So this morning, we're going to, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes as we wrap up here. I know that these were a lot of different things thrown at you. But I want to give you an opportunity just to kind of begin the process. Or if you've been with us for a while, to restart the process of this tool that we're calling Oikos. Each one of you got a card this morning when you came in. I just want to ask you to take a few minutes to think real practically about who are the people in my life. Now, there's a lot of people in our life, but specifically, who are the people in my life that, as far as I can tell, they don't know the hope of Jesus. They don't know Jesus. And for whatever reason, God has put me in a place where I can have an impact on them. Where I can share something of value spiritually with them, where he wants to use me to reach out to them with the hope of Jesus. And I want to just give you a couple of minutes to think on that and to jot some of those names down. And again, they can be our, they might be right in our own household, in our family, relatives. Could be people we work with, that we're involved with, at, you know, the kids' school, at the Y. It could be our neighbors, our next-door neighbors. We all talk to so many of those these days. You know, it's an interesting day and age where sometimes we're so close yet so disconnected. But maybe God has you there for a reason. To share the hope of Jesus. I want to give just want to just take these moments to think about who are the people that God has put in my life that I want to pray for. Who's my Oikos that God wants to use me to reach? Give me a chance to do that right here this morning. So we'll just take a few minutes and then we'll wrap things up. heart is really a starting point. And I just kind of ask you to continue to work on this, to pray about this, but mostly to pray for these people. This is your oikos. You've identified them. Now, will you pray for them every day? You know, will you pray for them every day? That's kind of our next step. And you know what? The results are not up to us. We'll just pray, seek the opportunities, build the relationships. We'll see what God does. This isn't some kind of crazy pyramid scheme or, you know, ways to build the church. It's just about, it's something we should be doing as followers of Christ, sharing the hope of Jesus with people around us. This is just a tool to help us do that. So would you take this card with you and would you pray for these people? Pray. We're going to close with a song, and we'll be done for this morning. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for Jesus and the hope that he has given to us. We thank you that he was willing to lay down his life for our sake. And God, we want to ask you that as we've received that forgiveness, that mercy, God, we pray for these people on our list that you would help us to be a means of reaching out to them, sharing your truth. God, we pray that these aren't just a list of names. These are people who matter to you, people who you died for, that either don't know that yet or haven't. We ask God that you lead them to become followers of Christ in your time. We pray for this in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.